Someone said, God, if you just let me get out of this awful situation, I will go to church every Sunday. And there's another comment. God, if you just let me win this lottery, please, 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 I will give 20% to the church. Or, Lord, if you just allow me to marry this beautiful woman, I will be your servant for the rest of my life. Or, oh God, don't let the cop find out my marijuana in the trunk. I'll do anything. By the way, that last comment was the actual comment made by the person who got pulled over by cops for the suspicion of drug trafficking. His comment was recorded in the dashboard, mounted the video camera. You know, one of those things that you can see every what they do. While he was confined in the back of the police squad, he didn't know he was being recorded. I bet he had fun listening to his voice in the courtroom. Many people, including ourselves, have tried to make a deal with God while we were in the tight corners. Maybe you are making one right now, and maybe that is the reason why you are here, to get some brownie point from God. Let me make it clear to you guys. God does not have a brownie point system, nor he calculate that brownie point system. You might attend the church until you get what you want after that, and you say, you mean going to church on Sunday morning? Are you kidding me? Do you know how many college football games and golf games on TV on Sunday? Let me put it this way. If God choose to grant our wish, that doesn't mean that he accepts our deal. It's simply because of his mercy and grace and love. Nothing more. That's a word of prayer before we go to Genesis chapter 28. Heavenly Father, with our hearts open and our Bibles open to receive your word, give us an instruction through your word that we may obey you and not try to scheme you or try to con you, because we cannot. You know all things. You are omniscient God, omnipresent God, and almighty God. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charging him and said to him, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan, and arise, go to Paddan Aram, to the house of Bethel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughter of the Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and take you make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of God's assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and to your descendants with you, that you may be inherit in the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. So Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to the Paddan Aram, to the Laban, son of Bethuel the Syrian, brother of Rebekah, mother of Jacob and Esau. Perhaps now that Isaac resigned himself to what his wife Rebekah told him, that it is the Lord's will for older will serve younger, and that means that Jacob will receive birthright and family blessing, not Esau. So now he is giving Jacob a blessing and instruction before he leaves home. It is essential that Jacob should not take the daughters of Canaanites, as his brother Esau did. Jacob is the one who inherits the birthright and carries the seed of his Messiah, Jesus Christ. If you were to give the nationality to this family, what would you say? Are they Jew or are they different kinds of nationality? They are Syrian people, according to what God says. Sometimes the question that was asked, was Abraham Jew or was he Israelite? No, actually he was not. Because at that time there was no Israelite until the Jacob's name was changed by God to Israel. His 12 sons are the Israelites. Tragically, this is the last time Jacob gets to see his mama, because he gets to spend the next 20 years of his life at the home of the master of deception, his uncle Laban. His mother Rebekah died during that time. Even though Jacob was raised with the covenant of God through his father, personally, he has not experienced any relationship with God. Every man and woman come to the point where he or she has to decide whether they are going to make a decision to follow God or not. For Esau's case, he made it very clear from the beginning he had nothing to do with God. You may know a few people around you, and they don't give a rip about God. Or you might be the one, those who don't care. And yes, you are here, but you are drugged here, not by your choice, by whoever wants you to come. Today, you are going to face a decision that would change your eternal destination from hell to heaven. I hope that you make that decision. Somehow we think that, you know, when Jacob was leaving his home, his parents' home, he was about early 20s. How wrong we are. Let's calculate Jacob's age. According to Genesis 47:9, Jacob was about 130 years old when he went to Egypt. Subtract 39 years. And you may say, why 39 years? Let me put it this way. Joseph was 17 years old when he was sold into Egypt. And when he was 30, he was presented to Pharaoh. And after that he became a prime minister. And the reason for the prime minister is because he interpreted the dream of Pharaoh. And he got there 7 years of a great harvest and 7 years of famine. First 7 years passed, and second portion where the 2 years into the great famine, his brothers from the land of Canaan came to get some food. And of course, you know the whole shenanigan, and his father, Joseph's father, get to come to Egypt. And when he entered into Egypt, that was 130. So if subtract all that Joseph's age, that means when Joseph was born, Jacob was 99 years old. Okay. According to Genesis chapter 30, verse 25, it indicates that Joseph was born when Jacob already fulfilled 14 years of his service for his wives. This indicates that Jacob was about 77 years old when he began to walk on his own. Wow, he was a 77 years old single man. Some of you are single. Get your hopes up. Your day is coming. 77 years old. 6, verse 6. Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Paddan Aram to take himself a wife from there. And that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, "You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan." And that then Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to the Paddan Aram. Also Esau saw that the daughters of the Canaan did not please his father. So Esau went to Ishmael and took the Mehereth, the daughter of Ishmael, and Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife in addition to the wives he had. All of a sudden now the blessing and the birthright seems important to Esau. They were important enough for him to try to impress his father by marrying non-Canaanite woman when he saw that Jacob had obeyed his father and mother. How we quickly change. Verse 10. Now the Jacob went out from Beersheba, went toward Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones that place and put it at his head. He lay down that place and to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Jacob traveled about 40 miles from the Beersheba to the Bethel. Fear and loneliness. By the way, this is the first time he's away from his mommy and daddy. 77 years old. Wow. Isolation and excitement and anticipation for the future. This was an absolutely important time in Jacob's spiritual life. In this desolate wilderness, Jacob had a significant dream, and he used a stone for a pillow, which would make just about anybody have a weird dream, you know? You got to be extremely tired to use a stone as a pillow to go to sleep. Jesus made this portion, Genesis 28, clear in one of his Gospels, John chapter 1, verse 15, that he is the access to heaven. He is the means that by which heaven came down to us, and by which we can go to heaven. He is the letter. Let's go to Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 51. And he said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, hereafter the shall see heaven opens, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon" what? Son of Man. Exactly, Son of Man. Jacob is the perfect picture of the lost soul. He is in darkness, fleeing for his life, away from the father's house, burdened with sin, and ignorant in that fact that God is near with him and want to save him. Letter pictures the Christ as the only way from the earth to heaven. Of course, you remember this verse, John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man come unto the Father but through me." He didn't say a life or a truth or a way. He is the way. Jesus opened the heavens for us and bring the heavens blessing to our lives. And he alone can take us to heaven. Jacob thought he was in the lonely wilderness, awakened to discover that he was in the presence of God in the very gate of heaven. Folks, God was meeting Jacob when he felt lonely. He was telling Jacob had to have a heavenly perspective. Jacob tried to steal the blessing from his brother Esau and everything he had. He didn't have to do it. He did not know that the real blessing was waiting for him. Here, God himself. Let me make a side note before we go any further. Please, do not worship the angels, nor any saint. It's a completely unbiblical to worship angels or saints. They are nothing more than angels, is nothing more than a messenger, and the saints are that we are, those who are born in Christian, are the saints. They are only one who is worthy to be praised, our worship and praise. He ain't saint, he ain't, you know, angels. It's Jesus Christ. I find many New Age people in Sedona, Arizona, Tucson, Arizona, and Santa Fe, New Mexico. And they are into this angel worship. Stay far away from it. Verse 13, "And behold, the Lord stood above and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. And the land on which you lie, I will give to you and your descendants. And also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and east and to the north and the south. And in your seed all families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Essentially, God reports to the Jacob that in the terms of a covenant he gave to the both Abraham and Isaac. Jacob had no doubt heard about the great God. He appeared to his grandfather Abraham and his father Isaac. But now, the same God who had that personal encounter with his grandfather and father, now he himself get to have that experience with God. This is life-changing experience for the Jacob. Folks, we too have that same assurance from God for us as Jacob had. God won't let us go until his work is completed in us. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Verse 16. And Jacob arose and his slave and said, surely the Lord is in the place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob arose early, in the morning, and took the stone that he had put at his head, and set it up as a pillar, poured oil on it, and he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow in the beginning, and saying that if, underline the rest of the verse, please, all the way down to this verse 22. If God will be with me and keep me in the way, and I'm going and give me the bread to eat and the clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone, which I have set as a pillar, shall be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will surely give 10th to you. Jacob was right in sensing the presence of the Lord there. However, he was wrong in thinking that God was only in the one place and nowhere else. Our God is omnipresent God and means that He is everywhere. His experience that night not only changed him, but it also changed the place of the city, the name of the place where he slept. Bethel means the house of God. By the way, Bethel would eventually become the high place, notorious in for the idolatrous sacrifice, according to Hosea 10, verse 15. Setting a pillar was the act of faith for Jacob. It was his way of dedicating himself to God. It's a beautiful thing and wonderful thing that by faith a believer can turn pillow to pillar. If Jacob stood there, and it would have been good. But he went on to. If the Jacob stopped there, it would have been good. But he went on to his willing and dealing con artist scheme toward God. Even though God already had given him the promise, yet he is still making a deal with God. Even promising God with the money, as if, God, if you fulfill your promise, I will give you this much money. What a joke. The way Jacob prayed, it is evident that God's mere word is not good enough for him. He had to see God and do something in his life. Let me ask you this. Are we in the same way? Philippians 4:19 says, And my God shall supply all your need according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. In Nahum 1:7, Nahum is located between Micah and Habakkuk in the Old Testament. The Lord is good and stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who trust in Him. Do we believe these things before we see? We must. Believing what we see is not faith. It is an acknowledgement. Jacob set the terms of his covenant with him. He is laying down the deal for God, and instead of humility, instead of humbly receiving it for what God said as a deal. Obviously, Jacob isn't very submitted to God. God will teach him the submission with a very, very tough situation. This is the school of hard knocks, where the principal is Uncle Laban. God is gracious enough not to call off the whole deal, you know, when he saw such a carnal response from Jacob. Let me ask you this. Is our God supposed to be impressed with the deal we can offer to Him? He owns everything in the universe. Our money comes from Him, and He is the one who sustained our lives and give breath to each moment. Can you imagine? If God says, no more, then my heart will stop, your heart will stop. That will be it. Do you see how absurd this idea of willing and dealing with God? How much better if we trust our faithful God with everything we live for and everything we have? That would be great. Let's make one application. When we have a prayer request to our God, we must come to Him with humility, thanksgiving, and request. Okay? Let's come to Him with the humility, thanksgiving, and request, not trying to scheme Him as if we can fool Him. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, and in everything, and by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ.